Hello and welcome to the American Dream Podcast. I am your host, Elias Torres, and this week I got a little bit different of an episode for you. I sat down with the co-chairs of Harvard WeCode, Hannah Jo and Rhea Lacaria, to learn more about the largest student-run conference for women in tech in the world. This year's conference takes place in Boston on February 17th and 18th and includes keynote speakers, mentorship opportunities, a career fair, and yes, free meals. If you're interested in attending or sponsoring the conference in the future, click the link in the show notes. During our 30-minute conversation, I learned so much more from Hannah and Rhea than just about the conference. So keep listening to hear their opinion on how women show up in tech today, the opportunities they see in computer science, and get our masterclass on mentorship. Welcome to the show, Hannah and Rhea. Really excited to have you here. This is a little bit different episode in some ways. We're going to be doing some advertisement for an amazing conference that Hannah and Rhea run. But let's introduce yourselves first. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I'm Rhea. I'm a junior at Harvard studying applied math in economics and computer science. And I'm alongside Hannah, one of the chairs for this year's 2024 WeCode conference.
Yeah. And I'm Hannah. I'm also a junior at Harvard. I study computer science with a secondary in economics, and I'm the second co-chair for Harvard WeCode.
That's awesome. We invited them here to talk about the conference, not talk about anything else about Harvard. But we also want to talk about, one of the things I do in this show, right? We talk about the American dream. And mainly, I'm just trying to highlight people's stories, right? I think people's stories are amazing, and that's what really makes us human. And I like to inspire people to share their journeys, no matter what happens and how hard it was. And so you guys may not be used to telling your story. So be thinking, because I want to ask you a little bit of where you came from, where you born here, things that you should always be prepared, right? Telling your story is the most interesting thing. Everybody loves telling their story. So I don't know how often you do it, but who wants to go first? Tell a little story about where you came from.
So I'm actually originally from the Bay Area, California. And so I think I'm very lucky to be able to be from there. Most people probably know that it's kind of considered like a big hub for technology, being like in Silicon Valley. And so I think because of that, I was really lucky to be afforded with and like have the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of like software engineering and a lot of just general tech. So both of my parents were and are like software engineers. So I think that kind of definitely inspired me to get into generally computer science. But I think that one thing that I kind of learned more about since coming to college is really the diversity of options that are available for people interested in technology. So I think where, like, for me, at least, my view was always very limited. It's kind of like, if you study computer science, you become a software engineer. And that's kind of where things end. But I'd say that like since coming here and also since starting to help organize WeCode, there are like so many different like avenues for exploring tech, whether that's like PM, biotech, like design, business. Like there are so many different ways that tech is influential in our world. And I think that's also something that kind of we try to emphasize at WeCode. And it's something that I've been really excited to learn about since coming to college, that there are so many other opportunities out there that aren't just like software engineering. Though I know this is already like a very privileged thing to be able to say, the fact that like I already knew about software engineering and that it was something on the top of my mind since I was younger.
There's two things. In this podcast, we appreciate privilege. Okay, privilege is welcome. And so we need to share more privilege with people that are interested in the American dream story. I think it's a big struggle for minorities, for underrepresented groups to go into CS. And I love what you said, right? Because in fact, I'm working with Carla Broadley. She was a Northeastern she was the dean at Northeastern Computer Science. And what happens is that underrepresented groups, they're afraid because they're like, or women, right? They would be like, oh, I don't see CS. Oh, I don't want to sit in a chair banging at the keyboard all day. That looks extremely boring. It's not maybe what you might be interested in. you have other interests to yourself as a person, as a human being, depending on your upbringing. And so what they did at Northeastern is that they created this combined majors, right? This is a Harvard conference we're talking about, but I have to advertise Northeastern because I got now two kids on the way there, one in there and one on the way. And I love Northeastern. But I went to Harvard too. So, you know, if I went to Harvard, I'm going to tell you I went to Harvard. And so what happens is that, so it is great to have combined majors because that way you can test two things that you want. And then just have extra ability. So I love that people should understand that going into CS just only really means opening the doors to do whatever you want, right? It's like a superpower people don't know. Rhea, what's the story? You had a lot more time to think about it, so it's gonna be good.
No pressure. I think my story is a bit different than Hannah's. Well, I definitely did not grow up in the Bay Area. My parents like moved to England from India, and my dad was like a doctor, but then turned like drug developer at a pharmaceutical company. And then my mom was an architect. So very separated from, I guess, the world of like technology. And then we moved to Indiana, and I'd say like growing up.
And Indiana is full of tech, right? It's just,
it's basically just like, I don't know, everything but tech. I feel like you have like doctors, like lawyers, engineers, like schools, architects, and that's about it. And farms, I guess. But yeah, so I grew up never took a CS class until my senior year of high school. And then even that, it was a year long class and I was the only girl. And it was also like the COVID year. So I dropped it like halfway through the semester and never thought I'd like touch coding again. And then I came to college and took another class, sort of just because I needed something to fill in my schedule freshman fall. And it was taught like so much better. And I had like so much more community and friends there and really felt like inspired by the way that like CS can help us like build products at scale. I think even now I have like some of those same worries that we talked about before of like how to combine my multiple interests, because I think a lot of why I like CS is just because it allows us to like make impacts in like other areas, but just like on a bigger scale, and it's more of like a tool that we can use in our lives rather than like an end in itself. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's still something that I'm sort of trying to figure out as I like navigate the beginnings of my career.
Yeah. And the problem is that we put so much pressure that CS has to be about becoming that the male paradigm of coding, right? Of neckbeard, nerds, and just be like, this is how we code. When in reality, it's just about using technology to further humanity, right? Or to accomplish the change. In fact, I just came back from New York, and I was on a Women on AI event conference, and I was the only guy on the panel. But it's because I had work on paidleave.ai, which was to help women and families and parents to get access to paid leave, extra money to spend more time with your children or adopted children or caring for a sick parent at home. So it was awesome to be there because it was a lot of women founders in AI, a lot of women journalists. And so it's just getting a different perspective than the usual event. This was completely inverted. I was like almost like the only guy in the room. About 50 at a breakfast in New York City. Reshma invited me, so it was great. So awesome. Let's talk about the conference. That was the whole point of the podcast. We can talk more about the issues of women in CS, which I am a witness to. What is this Harvard We Code?
The We Code part stands for like Women Engineers Code. Yes, so it is like a fancy acronym, which we have a lot of acronyms for things here. But just for like a brief overview, we are the largest student-run conference for women in tech in the world. So super exciting. And our overall mission is really just to kind of promote diversity and foster a sense of community for women in tech. So we're hosted normally over President's Day weekend. So the conference in 2024 will be coming up in just a few weeks. It spans 2 days.
What's the date? What day is it?
Oh. February 17th and 18th. Yes.
Where is this conference?
Yes, and this conference takes place in Harvard Science and Engineering Complex. So it's in Alston, just across the river from the main Harvard campus, which is like a really nice new.
Is that where the Innovation Lab space. Is?
Yeah, it's right across the street from the Innovation Lab.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay, good. What's the website?
It's just harvardrecode.com, I think.
.com. Look at you guys, fancy. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we also post a lot on our Instagram, which is also at Harvard Recode. So you can find a lot more information there as well.
So my daughter goes to Northeastern. Can she come?
Yes.
The conference is really open to undergraduates who identify as like women or non-binary, anybody from the US or international, if they're able to make it. We're super excited to like welcome any students from any background, freshmen through seniors, who are interested in like learning more and participating in the events.
Yeah, and we cater to both like in-person and virtual attendees. So if people are like too far away or only hear about the conference last minute and can't make travel plans, then they're fully encouraged to join virtually. But we do, at least for those, like for example, from Northeastern or from more local schools, we really encourage in-person attendance. We also offer things like group discounts. If like large student clubs or student groups want to come together, they can like purchase tickets at a discounted rate.
Wait, you have to pay for this conference?
Yes, yeah. You do have to pay for the conference.
How much is the conference? This is Harvard, so it must be really expensive.
It's like about $80 for the 2 days. We cover breakfast, lunch, dinner, free t-shirt, lots of free merchandise. And it's mostly just to support us in being able to financially like run the conference for future years, because we also offer pretty generous scholarships. So I think this year we're awarding more than 100 students, pretty big sums to help with their transportation and like housing, because we know it's like difficult for President's Day weekend. And so I think this is really where most of our funds, basically all of them, go back into scholarships and just making the conference like better for future years.
What do I get? What does somebody else get? I don't get it. Value for paying the $80. What's going to happen inside? I come out of there, what? I enter as this way and I come out what?
I think like we try to achieve like a number of different purposes throughout the course of our conference. So we have, well, first of all, we really hope that WeCode as a whole is like a great community for people, for students from across the country, across the world, to like meet one another. We have like an internal like messaging system that we've set up, and a lot of other ways for them to like network and socialize. And then beyond that, we have obviously like events, like we have like 4 or 5 different events across every time block that students can choose to attend. And so these events include things like just like your typical like keynote speakers and lectures and panels and fireside chats. But then we also try to have like some more like interactive workshops where they can work on maybe applying for jobs and like presenting themselves, or also like more like technical like coding skills. And then we also, even like within our like panels and speakers, we try to have like a lot of diversity in order to like portray the many different sides of tech. So for example, one of my favorite panels that I attended just like as a board member last year was on data journalism. And I thought that was super cool because I was like interested in like journalism and storytelling, and it was interesting to like hear their perspective of how like technology and like CS backgrounds can like make an impact in that space. And then on the Sunday, we have like a half day of programming. And then post lunch, we launch into a career fair. So a lot of our sponsors and like a lot of our big corporate sponsors, and also a lot of like smaller startups that are more local, will come to the career fair. And it really gives students a great opportunity to like talk to these companies, like see if they're hiring for positions, or even just like make connections there.
Yeah. If anybody, all the tech companies complaining, oh, we can't hire women, we can't find women, they just got to sponsor your conference and they got to show up and recruit them. You know, it's just so simple. Now I'm going to ask you the hard hitting questions, kind of like when you're starting a company and the investors come, or people are like, well, so what's your revenue? And then all the founders go, well, that's we keeping that confidential information. So how many people show up at this conference? 10, 20?
in years prior, we've had like more than 1,000 attendees. So
whoa,
maybe around
deal.
Like, yeah. So maybe around like 60% in person and 40% virtual. So I definitely say it's a pretty, we're excited to be able to have like a lot of students come and benefit from the conference.
Wow. This is legit. This is pretty good. What else you want to tell us? I think this is great. I'm really excited. Love seeing women leading and taking charge and building a place of community. I think that's extremely important, right? Because we humans have many different dimensions and facets. And I personally think I cannot be myself in every one of the circles that I'm in, right? I have to, in different circles with different people, I talk in different ways and I talk about different things and I connect to a different degree, right? So people need to respect and allow for and promote more events where we can find different tribes of ours because we belong to many different tribes in this world. So glad you're doing. Anything else you want to tell us?
I guess just like one other thing that I wanted to add on to the last point that we talked about in terms of like opportunities or what can like an attendee get out of coming to the conference beyond like some free meals, which I always think are nice. I think something else that our attendees really like are that we have mentorship circles. So those are opportunities for like, obviously, if there's so many attendees at the conference, there's probably going to be like 100 or 50 to 100 people per event. So I don't think you necessarily really get that much like direct interaction with the speakers, even if they are really cool, you can ask them like a question or two. But what we do is we match attendees with like speakers and sponsors who are willing to like mentor students in much smaller groups. So like 3 to 4 students. And I think this is a really great way for attendees to get to like talk to the people who they're excited about in a much like smaller and more intimate setting. And I think it's something that really helps because obviously listening is like super good. You can gain more information. But I think for me, I've been lucky enough to have some like really great mentors. And I think fostering those like more interpersonal connections are like very, very important as well. So I think that is hopefully something else that attendees can
Rhea, we're going to get to you in a second, so you got to give us this one big, you got to close it with the big mic drop. But before that, no pressure. I think what you said is really powerful. I think that, but I'm going to give a little bit of advice on top. It's really, the network is important. Absolutely. I think that and you create in a place that is safer, especially for women, right? For women to go at a blended conference, big conference, usually will be male dominated. Is so much more overwhelming to like go into like some, you know, male speaker, blah, blah, blah. And the dynamics are just weird and unfortunately are not so beneficial and welcoming for women. That's what I've seen, right? And heard and stuff like that. So here is so much more comfortable and approachable, and you're already open, especially for students, and you can open the way for them to go talk to each other, encourage it and say like, they are going to be waiting for you. They want to meet with you. It's so great to see and to have. But I will say something. Recommend, tell your students, right, to prepare for that meeting, right? To do work, right? To have an ask ready, right? And to ChatGPT that, right? And be like, okay, I'm going to, what should I ask? What should I bring? A lot of times I get introduced to people over LinkedIn, over message, over text, and they're like, it just annoys me here. I'm going to use my privilege. They're like, I want to talk to Elias. I just want to like, you know, pick your brain for like 2 or 3 minutes. Or like, oh, I would love to just hear a little bit about your experience about this and this. And I'm like, I have a podcast and I'm not trying to be a douchebag and brag, but like there's like a million videos of me and articles and stuff. And like, we're so busy, right? And to be asked to like repeat that, I don't know. Maybe you guys tell me, am I being a douchebag for thinking that? Not necessarily saying. Save me.
I guess.
Don't leave me hanging like this.
Rhea, do you have thoughts or I can go?
I think like it sort of just like depends on like where you are and like your knowledge of the space. I think that like we definitely see that, for example, for like freshmen, I think like exploration and just sort of like having an open mind and seeing what out there is like very important. And maybe that's sort of the approach that people are taking, where they're like, oh, I just want to pick your brain without like a clear sense of like direction or a specific question. But then I do think that like something that I feel like I didn't take advantage of when I was younger was just like the internet and like looking stuff up and like reading articles and hearing other people talk, because you don't have to see them in person nowadays to actually, or like even in like a live conversation to like get their insights. There are so many more resources out there. And yeah, I think just spending time with yourself and with like these resources before you go out and like ask to talk to people in person can make those later conversations all the more meaningful.
Exactly.
I just want to add on that I think sometimes people do have like something they want to get to at the end of the conversation, or like some kind of action item or ask. But I think even for me, sometimes it feels maybe a little bit daunting or scary, like reaching out to somebody directly for like an opportunity, being like, oh, I like their end goal is maybe just to get a referral. But what they say is like, oh, I just like to like talk for a few minutes. And so I think this is, maybe coming, especially I think maybe women might suffer from this more, like feeling not as confident to like directly ask for things. So I think that might be kind of actually, or like in some cases might be what is going on like behind the scenes. Whereas like they themselves already feel very well researched, and like they know what they want, but they're scared to maybe directly ask, or they're scared to be turned away or turned down. Which I think that in almost like all cases, people are happy to like, or many people are happy to help out. So I think being more direct can definitely
be beneficial. I think so. This is awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about that, right? I think you did it. I think you found the issue, right? If that maybe, right, is that guys are like, people in my position that we have less time, right? So we're more impatient. So the less time we have, the more direct we want to be, and he suits us to be rude and impersonal and just be like, I want this, give it to me. But maybe, I don't know. What do you think? Is that a good thing to encourage more women to be a little bit more direct and say, because the problem is, the reality is that you're at the end of the panel. The mentor comes down a little bit from the stage and there's a line of people want to talk to them. And so you really don't have time for that. Like, so you grew up in Indiana, right? You know, the problem is that you have to kind of read the room, right? And you can't, sometimes there's just no time. And there's other people that are going to be more aggressive and they're going to take your time, right? And so like, do you think it's okay to tell them, be more direct, just prepare your question. What's your ask, right? It's like, look, I would love to connect with you later. I know you're really busy. The main reason is that I want to work at your company. I was looking for a referral, right? I'm looking for a mentor in there. I graduated in a year and a half. Can I stay in touch with you, right? And they might say no, but they might, some questions you can ask them in a way that they can say no, or if they say no, it doesn't matter. But as opposed to like, can I pick your brain, or tell me a little bit about yourself? Tell me a little bit about yourself. It's like you said, Rhea, right? So many opportunities to find information. Do you give advice to the students a little bit on that, guiding them?
Yeah, I think we have like a mentorship guide on kind of like general, like outlining kind of some tips and tricks for when approaching your mentor. I do think that also, though, that sometimes like fostering some kind of sense of connection can be helpful before like directly asking. Yeah. So I think it's kind of like situational. And I think like you mentioned, it's all like different people have different preferences on like how they would like to be asked. So for example, like now, if I was to like ask you for something, I would know to be like very direct and to the point. But I think some of our mentors, because our mentors are like a very wide range in their career, like some of them are also kind of just starting out. So I think some of them might like benefit from having like a few seconds to be like, oh my God, you're from Indiana. I'm also from Indiana, or something like that. I think to build like a sense of rapport among the mentors and students.
Okay. Yay for the small talk. I
will say, just in general, like I think I used to approach mentorship in a very like formal way. Like it sort of, I would treat like mentor conversations almost like interviews, and that like I would make sure that I was like as well prepared as possible for them, and like was giving like these like perfect responses and acting like I knew what I was doing. But I think really the whole point of mentorship is that they're there to like help you in some way and like give you advice. So it's okay to like not present like the most like perfect version of yourself. And I think you should try to be as authentic as possible, talking about like your fears or your worries or like all any of the like complex thoughts you might have about whatever like career you're talking about. Because I think that's when they can give you like the most meaningful advice and where you can have the best conversation. Because otherwise, if you go in acting like you know everything, then they're not going to be able to help you that much. And you will sort of come away with the same as you went in.
It's like you have no idea. Like I'm at the point that when people come in, they ask me for advice. I said, no, you don't want to hear my advice. Don't worry about it. Because the mentor wants to talk. Everybody wants to talk. So I love how, this is why diversity is important. I think we rounded out a good message about mentorship, right? One, read the room, read the situation, and do make a personal connection, right? Hannah's point there. Second, my point is be ready for your ask, right? Whether you ask it or not, prepare ahead of time of what you want, right? Be clear of why you're connecting with that person. Because if not, that person leaves it like, why were we talking, right? And then Rhea finishes it off with, be vulnerable. Don't go there trying to show them that you know everything. The whole point is for you to learn from that individual and be vulnerable. Don't make it too formal. Wow, there you go. We just wrote a masterclass on mentorship. Thank you very much. It was awesome having you on the show. Learned a lot. Really excited to see you grow in your careers. If you ever start a company and need funding, call me first. And when you're graduating, call me too. Like, I'm hiring. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the American Dream Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And share the episode with your friends. Our work isn't done until everyone has equal access to their dreams.